This is Fantasy Football Friday with Ty Richardson.
Another episode of Fantasy Football Friday. I am your host, Ty Richardson. Joined now this week by Matt Williams, host of the Daily Blitz Pod and DF Statistic Pod. Matt, appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on. Always happy to talk some fantasy football.
I did not start Brett Favre that one year for the Jets. He threw like 7 or 8 touchdowns. That was probably my biggest fantasy blunder I've ever had, and I was so ticked off after that week. This past week, I elected to go with Matt Ryan over Jared Goff. Now, Ryan is coming off back-to-back 30-plus point weeks. He's playing at home in Atlanta. He puts up 3-point-something points. Jared Goff goes off for 25. I was so hacked off, so frustrated, and it made it that much worse that they played each other. Has there been a game so far this year that you put one player in and the other guy just went off your bench that you're still frustrated about?
Just happened. This probably happened to a lot of people. I am actually a huge Packers fan, but I believe in Aaron Rodgers as still a top 5 quarterback, and I believe he will be top 5, top 3 going forward. I sat him for Kyler Murray against the Giants now that Kyler was running, and that was the Giants. I mean, it was just everything about the matchup. I was expecting, you know, all the news with MBS and Geronimo, even the last second when they were going to be back in, I figured they would be limited. This was an Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams game. I mean, as an Aaron Rodgers believer, anyone who actually thought that game was coming is lying to themselves. So, I mean, I will take the L on telling anyone to start Kyler over him. Kyler obviously didn't have a very good game at all. I took a hard one right there. But luckily, it didn't cost me any matchups, but it definitely could have.
The Packers connection, I'm curious. I grew up a Packers fan, big-time Brett Favre. Once fantasy really started to impact my life, I kind of hopped off the Packers train, and I'm not as big as Aaron Rodgers fan as I have Brett Favre, so I think that kind of helped me. I still like the Packers, but the fandom that I had back in the day is not the same as it is now. As a Jersey guy, why Green Bay, dude?
It's interesting. In all sports, I root for the Green Bay Packers, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the New York Mets, which is completely confusing to where I'm from, especially where I tell people I'm a Sixers fan because I'm local to Philly. And then I tell them I'm a Mets fan, and they look at me sideways because that's like completely, they hate the Mets around here. But the Packers, the situation why I root for the teams I do is my dad grew up in Binghamton, New York, which is kind of middle of nowhere New York, near no major cities at all. It's not near New York City. It's not near Buffalo. It's nowhere. But the Mets double-A team was there, so that's why the Mets came in. But as far as the Packers, it's the only team that was really on the radio growing up there, because the Giants weren't on TV or anything, was my dad always listened to the Packers and Bart Starr. So that's kind of where that came in, and just my dad is a Packers fan, therefore I am. So yeah, it's kind of a weird route to go there, but I've been a Packers fan since I was little. I have a signed Don Majkowski photo, so definitely Packers all the way since I was born.
Speaking with Matt Williams, co-founder of Fantasy Football Mercenaries, we're talking about the Packers. Aaron Rodgers started off a little slow, and then he's really picked it up. I know a lot of people have been talking about the LaFleur-Rodgers connection. How do you see it playing out the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think he is a top 3 fantasy quarterback going forward. Definitely. I never lost faith in Aaron Rodgers. Many people do. This is nothing to do with, obviously he's not quite the guy he used to be. I wouldn't necessarily say it was age-related because of some of the downticks. I think, we saw him take off and run. He got some injuries. So I think he's not running enough more to protect himself. But the slow-moving offense to at least start the year, I think, is two things. A tougher schedule. He had some division games on there. And then the new system with Matt LaFleur. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback that was asked to not only bring in a new coach, but a completely new offensive system that was really keyed in on dumping off passes, doing short little routes. And it's something Aaron Rodgers wasn't used to. And they got by on their defense and throwing the ball. But, I mean, as you saw in this last game, he's really starting to get comfortable dumping it off to the little dump-off passes or the little short routes to the running backs that are really coming in. And he's still getting some of those shots downfield. So, I mean, it's helping that Jamal Williams is looking like, the best, I don't say the best shape of his life. He's playing the best football of his life. So they're finally making use of both of the running backs. And Davante Adams is coming back soon, and maybe as early as this week. So I think they're going to be very, very dangerous going forward. I mean, I am disappointed they didn't try to maybe add, for at least, you know, from a fantasy standpoint. Obviously, as a Packers fan, I was too. But as a fantasy standpoint, I would have loved to see them get, like, Emmanuel Sanders or Mohamed Sanu and replace Geronimo Allison. But obviously, those were pretty steep prices that were paid.
Mm-hmm.
It remains to be seen. Maybe they still upgrade. But still, if they don't, Davante Adams is coming back. It'll be huge. So if anyone doesn't believe in Aaron Rodgers and they want to try to sell him based on that week, I'd be happy to buy him.
Matt, the NBA season started on Tuesday night. Do you participate in fantasy basketball as well?
Absolutely. I love fantasy basketball. I don't talk about it as much because it's just not as popular, but yeah, I do love fantasy basketball.
Relative to fantasy football, how much time do you spend on fantasy basketball compared to fantasy football?
A ton more. if anyone who plays fantasy basketball or fantasy baseball knows, it requires a ridiculous amount of attention just because of the amount of games. Fantasy football is fun, but you can do your research and make your decisions. You basically make your waiver wire decisions, and then you have to, there's a game on Thursday. But other than that, there's only basically, you can get away with putting less effort into that because, you know, there's only like one game per week for every team. But, you know, basketball, there's games every single day. You always constantly have to set a lineup. So it does take a lot more effort. So not only do you have to like it, you have to kind of love it because it requires constant attention.
You're a Sixers fan. I saw on Golic and Wingo, Golic Jr. was talking about that he did not think Ben Simmons was going to make a three this season. Where do you fall in that perspective?
Yeah, he'll make a three. I know he made that one in the preseason that everyone was going crazy over. He's been working all offseason making a better jumper. It's not going to be a part of his game, though, for multiple reasons. A lot of people say he needs a jump shot in order to succeed. The matter of the fact is that's just not the kind of player he is. Even if he can hit them, he's not going to be the guy that other, like, Embiid's in the key, and he's going to be waiting on the wing for the pass. Like, Simmons is going to be in the middle. He's going to be facilitating. He's either going to drive to the hoop or he's going to pass it out.
Yeah.
But he will, you know, when he's bringing the ball up and they're not respecting him and not guarding him up at the three-point line, he will end up taking a couple and he'll no doubt make some. But I wouldn't expect that to in any way become part of his game. Now, as far as improving his free throw shooting and mid-range jumpers, I would expect that to kind of pick up as the season goes on. But I mean, he's that, you know, that slasher type like Giannis. He wants to run around throughout the paint and take it in and dunk the ball and pass it out. He's not a guy who's really going to make a jump shot a big part of his game, no matter how good or bad he is at it.
This is Fantasy Football Friday. I'm your host, Ty Richardson, speaking with Matt Williams, host of the Daily Blitz Pod. Now, Matt, I do a show weekly here on ESPN Arkansas, guy that doesn't play fantasy football, and I'm having him watch one episode of The League for our segment called Halftime Homework next week. So he's going to be doing that. Have you watched The League? If you have, do you feel like every fantasy football player has to do their part and watch that TV show?
Yeah, why not? I mean, there's just not that much else as far as entertainment out there. They really, with how popular it is, I wish they'd come out. I don't know if I'd call it a reboot, or at least they should do another show, bring it back, because, yeah, that was a great one. I mean, if anyone who hasn't seen it, yeah, I love the episode where they have J.J. Watt, was it, who drafted for that guy? Oh, and that they had the one they kept giving him kickers over and over again. That was,
yeah, the Ruskin. He's drafting for, I think, Ruxin in that episode is what it was, and he gets so frustrated. And then there's the I think Ruxin gets mad at Antonio Gates in like a hot tub, and he beats him up or something. That's It's such an entertaining show, man. I can't. So for a guy that doesn't play I know you do, but I'm speaking towards my co-host, Phil. What do you think he's going to think about watching that show? And do you think that will get him any more or any less interested in playing fantasy football next year?
It's tough to say. I mean, it's obviously, if that's more about showing how fun it can be to have like a league of friends. It's a different side of it now with, like, you know, Twitter and like the amount of information that's out there. A lot of people playing leagues with people they don't know. as much, but it just depends. If you have a group of friends and you can see how fun it can be, because you don't necessarily have to know about football, just look at Taco, you know? It just kind of gives you that side of camaraderie, how you can become like really great friends, and it can give you like a way to connect, which is a real reason a lot of people play fantasy. A lot of people are super serious. A lot of people just do it for fun, but yeah, I think if you watch that, you get excited about wanting to try fantasy out.
So we had two big wide receiver trades in the last couple of days. Mohamed Sanu, he's going to the Pats. You have Emmanuel Sanders is going to the Niners. Which guy's going to be more impactful on those teams, Matt?
I honestly am not too excited about either. I think their value both went down with each trade, because I think that the Patriots like to spread the ball out. Even with Josh Gordon gone, I'm not sure Sanu gets any more work than he did down in Atlanta. Same with Emmanuel Sanders. Even though Joe Flacco isn't very good, they were airing the ball out. It was a two-man show between him and Sutton. But between the two, I would expect a bigger tick probably out of Emmanuel Sanders, because, I mean, they really need a number one wide receiver there. But I say that with reluctance because I'm not sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. But I'm not excited about either guy. In fact, I'd be looking to trade either one if there's some excitement in my league around those moves. I mean, if anything, I think Sanu leaving really helps Austin Hooper's star season continue and obviously opens up more looks for Calvin Ridley. So, I mean, I would be looking in other directions, like Calvin Ridley I'd be looking to acquire. This actually makes me more excited for Julian Edelman. Now that Gordon's gone, everyone's talking about trying to get, how Sanu is there, or they want to acquire one of the other guys on the perimeter. But this didn't do much in terms of excitement for me. All it did in San Francisco was make Marquise Goodwin and Dante Pettis and Debo droppable.
Mm-hmm. So let's keep it going with the Patriots conversation. The defense so far this year has been absolutely incredible. If you look into it a little bit, they played some bad quarterbacks early, Matt. Fitzpatrick, Allen, Jones, these guys are not stud quarterbacks. Now they're having to face Jackson, Prescott, Watson, Mahomes down the stretch. How do you think the defense does down the stretch compared to what we've seen so far about halfway through the season?
Yeah, I think it'll be night and day. Absolutely night and day. If you own them, they're the mother of all sell highs. I don't think they're a bad defense by any stretch. I'm not trying to say that. They'll probably look good against Baker Mayfield, who literally it has a blindfold on at the moment. But after that, Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, they're looking at a rough stretch of games there. So even though they end in the fantasy playoffs, they do end up like getting a game teed up against the Bengals. That is a really, really rough stretch. So right now they're like top five fantasy players. So, I mean, if you can get something of significant value from them, I would, because, I mean, they're not going to be putting up anywhere near the amount of points we've seen going forward. So I know it's tough to let them go, but it's just, you just got to go look at the numbers here and look at the matchups. And it's just not going to happen going forward. Like you said that they didn't see good quarterbacks. They've seen horrible quarterbacks so far. It's just going to be, like I said, night and day.
Speaking of quarterbacks, this has been an interesting year in terms of quarterback injuries, not just at the professional level, but the college level as well. Arkansas, where I'm from and where we're doing this podcast right now currently, doesn't have to play Alabama with Tua Tagovailoa at quarterback. He's got an ankle issue. He's going to be out at least for this game. But you look to the NFL level, whether it's Breeze, Mahomes, others, it seems like we've had an irregular amount of quarterback injuries. Am I making too much of that, or is that actually happening this season at both the college and professional level?
No, that's actually something that seems to be happening cross sport in general. I don't know what it is. It's maybe just the way people have been being conditioned, as far as just the new way of like people are trying to be as fast, lift more, a lot more muscle. I don't know what it is. It's just people are, rather than the old school way when they used to roll in the NFL where they drink a bunch of beer and then play a game, and people were just kind of like had that kind of weathered, like tough body. Now they're like kind of fine oiled machines, but like, you know, like a Ferrari, you know, you get it dinged up, it's off the road and it costs a lot to fix. So I just think it's just one of those things, just like with the times, These injuries are things that are going to happen, and it makes depth and having a reasonable backup all the more like important nowadays.
Teddy Bridgewater has done a pretty good job kind of rallying the troops down there in New Orleans. They're 5-0, I believe, since he's been the quarterback, but Drew Brees plans to start on. Now, everyone in that locker room in New Orleans, in Louisiana, in the United States knows that Drew Brees is the starting quarterback. But do you think Sean Payton is even the slightest bit worried that reinserting Drew Brees might throw off the chemistry a little bit with the team being so successful as of late?
I can't think he would. I mean, he's had a lot of years with Drew Brees out there. You know exactly who he is. I mean, there's no one that's going to watch Drew Brees. No one, none of the skill players. Like, Michael Thomas is not going to be, oh, like, why is Drew in here and not Terry Bridgewater?
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater. You know, so, I wouldn't be worried about that. I would, though, expect him and Kamara to not play this week, though. I mean, it seems a little silly to rush him back when the bye week is the very following week. I mean, you can get him that complete extra rest. So as far as that goes, I would think that they'd want to give him the extra weeks. But yeah, as far as chemistry, I wouldn't think there'd be much of an issue. If he's back at practice and they've determined, a team with that kind of experience has determined he's ready to go, I would say he's just ready to go.
This is a guy that has gutted out through some injuries, and we all know about he didn't get cleared when he was trying to go to the Dolphins. Saban didn't get his quarterback. He goes back to Bama. You know how sometimes there's the dynamic between the franchise itself and then the players. Like, most of the time, players always want to get back on the field, and it's the training staff, it's the coaches, and it's the medical staff that has to hold them back. Where do you stand this situation this week? You don't think he should play, but like, if Drew says he wants to play and he feels like he can play and the doctors clear him, how do you say no to a Hall of Famer like that?
Yeah, I mean, in the NFL, people make hard decisions all the time. Fan favorites get cut all the time. I'm not trying to say they're cutting Drew Brees. I'm just saying you have to make the decision that's right for the team. Terry Bridgewater, like you said, has played well.
Mm-hmm.
So unless Drew Brees is 100% and he looks that way, I think that I would think that Peyton has a strong enough relationship with him to say, all right, you know, we want to work on a couple things. You look really good. We're gonna give you a couple more weeks. We got the bye coming up. And you just got to break it down to him. If he says he really wants to play and he's absolutely ready and he looks ready, there's nothing you can really do. But, if you feel that you start whoever you think gives you the best chance to win, and it's tough to say that's not Drew Brees even at 75%, even as good as Teddy has looked.
Matt Williams, CFO of Clipcast here on Fantasy Football Friday. With the L.A. Rams adding Jalen Ramsey, they looked really good this past week at the Falcons. I know it's one game. I picked him up. Defense, I had the Browns, Dogtown, and they had the bye week the last week, but I went ahead and picked them up. What do you think about the rest of the way for the Los Angeles Rams defense with the addition of Jalen Ramsey?
It's tough to say. I mean, they obviously traded their best cornerback, and Talib is out for not knowing how long. They're probably going to be looking at a lot of shootouts. The Falcons, it's a hard game to really gauge how the Rams defense look because the Falcons are just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't, if you have them, I don't mind that. But if someone is super excited, I would actually try to put them up on the trade block to see if anyone else is overly excited about their prospects, because to me, it's still a question mark. If someone wants to trade me something I feel is not a question mark, I'm fine streaming defenses because I'm not confident that they'll be great going forward, but I am excited about them being a lot better. But again, overall, it's a tough sell. I mean, especially in that division, they acquire Jalen Ramsey in a division where all of the best wide receivers that they'll be facing are in the slot. So all the teams they'll be facing the most, Jalen Ramsey won't even actually touch those players. So it's not, I guess, as much of a needle pusher for me as it is for some.
Matt, when you go to Packers games, and I know it's a little bit of a drive or a fly for you, where's the place that I need to go eat or drink before the game?
I've been to Green Bay when I was young. I've been to a lot of Packers games, but I've been to them in New York. I've been in Philly. I've been down in Washington, but I have not been out to Lambeau since I was a kid. So I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I am trying to make it a priority to go up next year. But yeah, I have not been up there. Sadly, it makes me upset. Thank you for making me sad.
So let me ask you, man, is it hard for you to go to games? Because for a college football Saturday for me, unless the Arkansas Razorbacks are not playing, I'm working. I'll have to do pre, I'll have to do post game. I'll have to just be paying attention to that one particular game. Yes, I can watch for you. But with you having to watch so many NFL games, is it hard for you to go to a game live unlike it used to when you were a kid?
Yeah, it definitely is, especially with the way technology is now. I mean, you know more, you see more watching on TV. I mean, mm-hmm. being there is an experience, but you don't know what's going on half the time. There's penalties called. You don't know what's going on. You can't hear anything. So if it's better if it's a Monday game or a Thursday game where it's just one game, or Sunday night where it's just one game, you can go there and kind of do your work at the same time. But yeah, it's difficult to go out there. So that's one other reason why I haven't really planned. Other sports are much easier, but for football, yeah, if it's Sunday, I do my live show 11:30 a.m. to kick off every Sunday with the FF Mercenaries. And the rest of the day, it's just watching football.
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with that. Speaking with Matt Williams here on Fantasy Football Friday. Matt, when is the last game you have been to, and do you remember what happened or what occurred during that game?
Actually, it's been a while since I've been to a live football game, and it was actually the Super Bowl in Miami between the Colts and the Bears.
Wow, that
was the last NFL one that I've been to live.
Manning was Orton. Orton was the quarterback for the Bears, right?
It was
Grossman. Grossman.
Yeah, Rex Grossman.
That's who it was. Yeah.
The Super Bowl was amazing because it rained the entire time, which is not that many Super Bowls. It has rained the entire time. And the opening kickoff was returned by Devin Hester for a touchdown, which would be the first time in NFL history. So that was it was a pretty awesome game.
There's a guy that kind of just disappeared off the face of the earth. I mean, here's one. He comes in out of Miami, was just a dynamite player there, and then was making plays all over the field, what it seemed like, for the Bears on special teams, not necessarily at the wide receiver position. You miss watching that guy play?
Absolutely. People don't talk about him enough. For me, first ballot Hall of Famer. This guy changed. You had to game plan around this guy specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, he turned the tide almost entirely. I mean, he would win or lose you a game. People would punt away from him. People would punt the ball out of bounds, squib kick, just not to give him the ball. I've never seen a guy on special teams be such a disruptor. He was, and I know it's hard. You know, it's like putting a guy in the bullpen in the Hall of Fame in baseball. It just seems wrong to people. But I mean, he truly pushed the needle, unlike a lot of like just regular skill players. So yeah, I love Devin Hester, and it's a bummer that there's not more guys around like him.
Matt, last question before we let you go. I'm just assuming the kiddo in your profile picture is your son.
That is my nephew, Finn.
Okay. So when are you going to be the cool uncle to get Finn to start playing a fantasy football? Is there an age that you're going to start, hey man, you need to start doing this?
Yeah, well, he loves math already.
Oh,
so that's already big. Great. I can try to talk to my sister, his mom, about how fantasy football, how just fantasy sports in general could be a fun way to expand his knowledge in sports, you know, maybe even like, you know, research databases and things like that. So I definitely have an in as far as trying to make it a educational experience.
Matt Williams, host of the Daily Blitz Pod and DF Statistics Pod, also co-founder of Fantasy Football Mercenaries. Matt, good conversation, man. I appreciate you hopping on Fantasy Football Friday.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Show. I'm getting that for show.
New fantasy football interviews every Friday on HitThatLine.com.